Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another devotional study in 1 John. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it is good to be with you on this Friday morning. I hope that you're doing well. We are here together to be in God's Word. We've got our cups of coffee. Grogu is here because it's Friday. Ah, it's good coffee this morning. And we are here to study 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be today in verses 19 through 24. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into the text together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up, Lord. Thank you for giving us another day of life. It's a gift, a blessing from you. We don't deserve it, yet you freely give it because you love us. You pour out blessings into our lives day after day. Even this morning, in the short time we've been awake, we've been blessed. We're alive. We're healthy. We're able to think. We're able to gather together using this technology. We're able to be in your word, which we have in our own language, which many men have sacrificed over the years to ensure that we could have your word in our language. So, Father, thank you for this time. Please come by your Holy Spirit and make this time profitable for your glory and for our good. Teach us your word. Write your word on our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. Amen. That's God's holy word. Well, we have a little bit of an issue at the very beginning of our study this morning, in that the first two words of verse 19 are, by this. And whenever you see by this, you should be asking, by what? And this is something very important, because John says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. So we need to know what the this is, the by this. Well, it's never that hard in the Bible. God makes it pretty easy for us. You just read ahead or read back. In this case, by this, you need to read back a little bit. So let's go back to the tail end of where we left off on Wednesday, and let's look at verses 16 to 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his love for us. Now here we have a by this, but it's given to us within the verse. By this we know love, and here it is, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So that's the by this. If we know love because Christ has laid down his love for us, then we are to love, not just in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. He's the Word of God who came down in fully human form. He took on a true human nature, body and soul, so that he could indeed and in truth love us. God decided it wasn't enough to just speak his love from a distance. We didn't respond to it. We didn't listen to it. We needed saving. We needed someone to do something, to make reconciliation, to make peace. And so Jesus Christ came down and laid down his life for us. And so, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed or truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. If we love as we have been loved, in deed and in truth, does that mean that we're going to be perfect at loving? No. The Bible is very practical and recognizes that there is a difference between sincere love from a still sinful human being that is going to be less than perfect, and perfect love, which only God gives to us. So we have to love. Love gives us assurance. I want to break down these verses into four sections of what John is addressing here in 1 John. The first two verses, 19 and 20, he's talking to us about assurance. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. And then the second thing that John talks about in this passage is confidence. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. And the third thing is obedience, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we love, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. And then the fourth thing is abiding. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. So let's look at these four sections of today's passage. First is assurance. So loving one another sincerely from the heart gives our hearts assurance before God that we have indeed received His love. We know that we've received His love because we're showing His love to others. And how would we be able to show His love to others if we had not received His love? And that gives us great assurance before God. And we need that assurance because our hearts condemn us. You ever had your heart condemn you? If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, you have had your heart condemn you. How can you call yourself a Christian and do that? How could you call yourself a Christian and say that? How could you call yourself a Christian and think that? What kind of a Christian are you anyway? Any of that sound familiar? Sure does to me. And so our hearts condemn us. But the good news is that God's love that He's poured out into our hearts and that we're able to share with others, God's love shows us that God is greater than our hearts. Our hearts are fickle. Our hearts are easily turned. But God knows our hearts. He loves our hearts. He is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. And so we do get assurance. Even our hearts are reassured, and they do not condemn us. The more we show love, the more we let the love of God flow through us and out to others, the more our hearts gain assurance. But whenever we're lacking assurance, we can know that God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. He knows who are His own, and He knows how to save His own, as someone said in our Bible study last night. So then this gives us confidence. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, because we've been reassured by the love of God that's flowing out from us to others, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Now, this is one of those verses that is often abused by people who frankly don't know God's word very well, or who manipulate it in order to take advantage of others. And some people say, well, this kind of gives us a blank check. So if I say, I want a new home that's bigger and fancier and nicer, you know, I want a new car, I want a new Tesla or whatever, just sort of ask for it and we'll receive it. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him. But that's not what John is saying. Later in chapter 5, he's going to come back to this idea that whatever we ask, we receive. And what he's going to say there is, if we pray anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. It's 1 John 5:14 and 15. If we pray anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if He hears us, we know we already have the things that we've asked for. So our point here, John's point here, is that if our hearts are aligned with the heart of God, which shows fruit in the fact that we are keeping his commandments and we're doing what pleases him, right? So if our hearts are aligned with God so that we're keeping his commandments, we're doing what pleases him, then we can ask whatever and he will receive because we want the will of God for our lives. The one whose heart is aligned with God wants nothing more or less than God's will for his or her life. I know that God's wisdom is greater than my wisdom. God's love is greater than my love. God knows what's needed better than I need it, and God cares more about me and those I care about than I do. So ultimately, what I want is for his will to be done, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus taught us to pray. So it says if we keep his commandments and do what pleases him, and this could lead us into another trap. So one trap would be sort of this name it, claim it idea that you get this blank check from God. You get your new house, you get your new Tesla, you get your, you know, great income, you get, you know, worldwide fame. Like I should pray over the YouTube channel for the church that it would get 10,000 subscribers and, you know, No. That is not what God is talking about here. He's talking about having a heart that's aligned with his heart. The other place we can fall into a trap is to say, well, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him, and we can be sucked into a form of perfectionism. There's many forms of perfectionism, but this one would basically say, if you really want something from God, then you better be keeping all the rules perfectly. I mean, it says keep his commandments, right? Do what pleases him. That means you've got to be a rule keeper. You've got to keep all the rules perfectly if you want to please God. Well, all you need to do is read the very next verse to see what John is talking about. We are sinful people. God knows that we're sinful people. God knows our sinful hearts better than we do. You think about it. God saw and knew all of our sin, past, present, and future, with his perfect holy vision. He knew it all before he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus saw it all, and he drank down the cup of wrath for all of our sin. He took all of our sin on the cross. He became sin for us, all of it. So sometimes you might be shocked by your sin, but God never is. God never thinks, oh, I never thought he'd do that. Oh, I can't believe she did that. No, God knows you. God knows everything. He's greater than our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So what does John mean when he says, keep his commandments and do what pleases him? We should seek to obey God. Absolutely, we should seek to obey God. But here specifically, John is talking about really two things. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love for all the saints, love for one another in the body of Christ. If you read Paul's letters, by the way, you'll see that this is a consistent apostolic teaching. Paul consistently calls upon these two distinguishing marks as the evidence that someone is a true believer. So he'll tell the Philippians, I do not cease to give thanks to you since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. He tells the same things to the Ephesians. It's over and over again in Paul's letters that he's looking for evidence that they're truly believers, that they've truly come to Christ. And it's seen in these two things. And John's saying the same thing here. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust him? Are you relying on him for your salvation and not yourself? And do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, we never do anything perfectly, so get out of your mind that you're ever going to do it perfectly. But again, sincerely from the heart, genuinely, can you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, and yes, I love my fellow Christians? Then you've done what God's commanded. You have salvation, you have the life of God living in you, and you have assurance before God, and you have confidence before God. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the fourth theme here, and it's the most profoundly wonderful. And it's a theme that John is picking up from Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. If we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and we are loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, then that tells us that we abide in God. We live and move and have our being. We dwell, we remain, we stay in God and God in us. We are in God and God is in us. And what Jesus actually prays is that we would be in him even as he is in the Father and the Father is in him. In other words, the same intimate fellowship, the same unbreakable union that binds together the persons of the triune God binds us to the triune God and the triune God to us. When God sets his love on you, when God saves you, when God changes your heart by his love and gives you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he draws you in to his own fellowship, to his own intimate, abiding in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God fellowship. And we abide in God, and God abides in us. And we know that by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. And the evidence that he's given us the Holy Spirit is what? That we believe in Jesus, and that we love one another. It has become inescapable in John's letter that we must love one another. This isolated Christianity where you're not a part of any church and you just stay home and read the Bible and maybe watch things on YouTube and you just are going to do your solo Christian life. There's no such thing as a solo Christian life in the Bible. The Bible knows nothing of it. It is completely contrary to what God has taught us in his word. Just as surely as we must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, so we must love one another. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for calling us to yourself, and thank you for calling us to each other. Thank you for giving us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for giving us love for one another. Father, may we, by your Spirit's work in us, may we grow, may we consistently, day by day, grow in walking in faith and love. Faith and love. May they be the heartbeat of our lives today and always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope to see you on the Lord's Day morning. Really looking forward to Lord's Day morning this week. I'm going to be preaching on Psalm 85. Maybe when this is over, you could just quickly open your Bible and read Psalm 85. It's a wonderful psalm. You might not be surprised to hear me say it's one of my favorite psalms. And I'm really looking forward to preaching that this Lord's Day morning. We'll be gathering for worship at 10:30 at the Newport Terrace on Newport Drive. Hope you can be with us then for gathered worship. If you already have another church home, gather with your church for worship on the Lord's Day morning, and then we can all gather here again on Monday morning, Lord willing, as we venture into chapter 4 of 1 John. Have a blessed day in the Lord.